Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 32. This is God's word. As Peter was traveling from place to place, he also came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up. So all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. About that time, she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to him who urged him, "Don't delay in coming with us." Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. And all the widows approached him weeping and showing him the robes and clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. He knelt down, prayed, and turning toward the body said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. He called the saints and widows and presented her alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with Simon, a leather tanner. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We have two miracle stories here at the end of chapter 9. Do you think this stuff's really true? Do you believe it really happened? Absolutely. Well, why doesn't God do any miracles like that today? He does. Well, why don't we see that and know about that? Well, you can know about it, but whether or not you see it is really up to God. Because God doesn't do it everywhere all the time. Just like here, he didn't do it everywhere all the time. Please notice that these were written down for us not because this happened every day, but because these were divine interventions, spectacular miracles that caused people all around to begin to believe that that stuff they're saying about Jesus is true. The goal of this was not the physical healing. You've got a guy who'd been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. 8 years? Really? That's a long time. This guy was bedridden for 8 years. And then God healed him. Isn't that tremendous? I mean, it really is. It's tremendous. So I thought it would be good if we invited him this morning to come and share about what a difference that made in his life. Unfortunately, he was not able to come because he's dead. You understand? I mean, he couldn't make it because he died. Well, what are you saying? I'm saying that physical healing is a temporary improvement in our condition. And even though sometimes God does amazing, miraculous things, and he's still doing amazing, miraculous things in the world today. I told you a few weeks back about a friend of ours, lives over in North Carolina. They went to Duke University Medical Center because their daughter needed surgery. They did the x-rays, and they've got the pictures, and they've posted them online and asked everybody to pray, and everybody prayed. And they went back for the surgery, and she didn't need the surgery because God had healed her. And all the doctors are very perplexed because they've got the before pictures and they got the after pictures, but normally there's surgery in between. This time, they've got the before pictures and the people prayed pictures, and she's been healed. Now, that doesn't mean she doesn't have any physical problems, and it doesn't mean that she'll never have to have surgery ever again in her whole life. But it does mean that for now, the doctors are scratching their heads and saying, we have no explanation for this. God is still healing people, but let me tell you, I don't have a new story since that one a few weeks back, okay? Because it's not something that happens all the time, everywhere, whenever we want it. And when it does happen, the people to whom it happens are not suddenly bulletproof, okay? You might get healed of one thing and die of something else. You might be the healthiest person to be killed on the highway today, okay? It happens because we live in a fallen world where we not only have magnificent reminders all around us of the greatness of God, but we have painful reminders all around us of the fallenness of humanity and the fact that this world is still suffering birth pangs. Longing, groaning, longing for the revelation of the sons of God. The creation subject to decay. God mercifully reminds us that this world is not our home. We are pilgrims and aliens here. And I tried to get Peter to come this morning. He wouldn't come either. I didn't really try and get him. Why not? He's dead. He was used by God magnificently to display God's power. The fact that the risen Lord Jesus Christ was alive in him. And so just like Jesus always only did the Father's will, Peter in these situations was doing what the Spirit of Christ within him told him to do. And that's why he saw these results. But the fact of the matter is, Peter sometimes messed up. You can read about it in Galatians 2. Peter sometimes messed up and had to be rebuked and corrected. Because he wasn't perfect. Jesus is. The rest of us, work in progress. But Peter, who did a lot of things right, who knew what it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak the word of God in power, whether it was on Pentecost as he's preaching the gospel or here as he's saying to a man, get up, take up your bed. In every case, that glorious work was being done through a man who was human, fallible, and going to have to die in order to go to heaven.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, what happened here? Well, the man who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years immediately got up. Verse 35, so all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. That's the miracle. That's the part that we should be excited about. That's the amazing thing. You had people who were spiritually dead and now they're spiritually alive. Okay? That is what it's about. The physical stuff doesn't last. We're going to meet these people in heaven. This is the forever part. This is the thing that the other is pointing to. Okay? And if we aren't careful, we tend to focus on the miracle and say, why don't we see more of that in our day? When we should be looking at the conversions and saying, why don't we see more of that in our day? Well, I got good news for you there. That's happening all around the world too. God is doing amazing things. We got a wonderful email from our friends in Masai Mara yesterday. Two more folks got saved at the church. And it's just wonderful. I mean, absolutely wonderful. Do you understand? 48 hours ago, those two folks were dead. They were dead in trespasses and sins. And within the last 48 hours, God made them alive. They came to faith in Jesus Christ. Their lives have been changed forever. Hallelujah. I mean, that is what this is about. The miracles happened to give credibility to the Word of God. And so then you have this other story, which again is for the same purpose. Please look at it. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. About that time, she became sick and died. Now again, I want you to understand, you got a guy who's been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. This woman, it was quicker than that, okay? She gets sick and everybody's like, oh no, did you hear she's not feeling well? What? She died? It happens to 100% of us. Please don't think that somehow you're going to be immune.
Well, it can't happen to me and I'm young.
One of the most powerful things that has happened in the history of the ranch was a little girl who was a brat. I mean, she was just horribly difficult. And there was a real question as to whether or not she would be allowed to stay because she was just so much trouble. She lived at Laurel Ridge, and I mean, she was a pain. Okay? Until she got saved. And when she got saved, I mean, boom, 180, radical transformation. Jesus manifested love through her. She was transformed by the power of Christ. Thanksgiving holiday came, and she went to visit family in Indiana. And her grandfather was driving her back. And they say that they think he had a heart attack behind the wheel because the car ran off the road and they were both pronounced dead at the scene. You better believe that rocked our campus. She was just a little kid. I mean, she was early elementary years. And all of a sudden, she's dead. And a friend of the ranch rented a big charter bus and took everybody up there for the funeral service, which I preached. Wow. I guess kids die too. Yeah. I've sat in the room with preschoolers. Don't think that you can't die until you're old. I lost two very close friends when all three of us were in our 40s. I knew another guy who owned a fitness company. He was in super health until all of a sudden he dropped over with a heart attack. And a nurse, his daughter, worked to revive him until the EMTs got there and they worked to revive him. But he never came around. He was gone in his 40s. So that was one of your real close friends? No, that was another guy I was friends with, but it wasn't one of the others. We're not immune. We're going to die. And this lady died. I mean, died. And everybody was really sad because she was a wonderful person. She was so sweet. She was so giving. It doesn't make you immune. Having a bunch of friends doesn't make you immune. So they sent for Peter. This is a moment when I would not want to be Peter. Okay? You know, our friend has died. Come, please help us. You realize there are limits to what I can do, right? And so Peter sends everybody out of the room. They're all showing it. Look, she made this for me. Look, she made this for me. Oh, she was so wonderful. You should have known her. I wish you'd met her when she was still alive. Peter thinks, I wish I had too. Peter sent them all out of the room. And then he got down on his knees and he prayed. And turning toward the body, he said, Tabitha, get up. Why did he do that? Because that's what the Lord told him to do. And so he did what the Lord told him. And as he obeyed the Lord did what he wanted to do. He raised her to life. She's not available to speak this morning either. Because everybody that got raised to life except one had to die again. There is one who was raised to life. And he still lives. His name is Jesus. And he is the one who is still working miracles today. Tabitha got up. She opened her eyes, saw Peter, sat up, gave her his hand, helped her stand up. And then he called the saints and widows and presented her alive. That's a miracle. But look at verse 42. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. That's the point. That's the point. The goal is the salvation of God's people. Because if you're born again, you're going to live with him forever. If you are not, born again. The wrath of God remains on you, and you will spend eternity cut off from him. I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, cry out to him and say, save me. If you're not sure if it's real, if you're not sure if what you're hearing is true, ask him. Say, Lord, show me. I want to know if this is so. I want to know if the Bible's true. I want to know if Jesus is Lord. You know, it's not like God's going to say, I'm sorry, I don't do that anymore. But if you're like Herod and you just want to see a miracle for entertainment, you know, that was Herod's deal. Jesus didn't do any miracles for him. If your goal is that you just want a miracle because you wish your ankle didn't hurt anymore, okay? Shoulder pain, you know, I just wish that would go away. I need a miracle. Well, God will do whatever he wants. Well, does God answer prayer for healing? And yes, he still does. But he does it when he chooses, the way he chooses. We're not the boss. He's not our servant. He is Lord. And we need to come to him and say, Lord, I'm yours. And if you want to use suffering in my life to make me who I need to be, then have your way. God knows what he's up to. If there was anybody on this planet that I would like to see get healed today, it's my son Paul. I mean, sorry for the rest of you. Too bad. Get in line. My son happens to be my son. Understand? I love him. And God has answered many prayers on his behalf, but the boy's had over 40 surgeries in 41 years of life. He's been through a lot, and I would love for God to now say, the rest of his life, he's going to be the picture of physical health. God could do that. I know God could do that. But if I had a choice between my son being physically healthy and spiritually lazy, or being physically challenged, as they say, and loving the Lord, I would so much rather have it as it is. So much. What matters is what lasts forever. Tabitha, no longer with us. Peter, no longer with us. Aeneas, no longer with us. But I'm going to see him again. One of these days, I'm going to say, I am so pleased to meet you. I heard your story years ago, and I've had the privilege of sharing it with many others. I want you there. I want you to know him. I want you to love him. I want you to serve him. Everything else goes away. Our relationship with the Lord is forever. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your amazing grace. I thank you that you love us not because we're lovable, but because you are love. I pray that you would help us to truly trust you and to do what you say. And I pray that many would come to faith in you. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.